Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. In a world where action movies are constantly exploding at the box office, our heroes take on the monumental task of dissecting and analyzing all aspects of action movies to truly understand what it takes to make a great action film. Ben Bateman, Andrew Guy, in a Popcorn Talk Network exclusive, this is Action Movie Anatomy.
Boom! What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show! Welcome to Action Movie Anatomy on the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network dedicated to talking movies and all things movie related. I'm your host, Ben Bateman, joined today. Look at how dapper you look today.
Well, thank you, Benjamin. Thank you for having me.
By my co-host, Mr. Andrew Guy. You know, I thought about trying to do the British accent when we started.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if I could just yell in a British accent.
If you would have done that, I would have had to go with, like, a Scottish accent or something.
If I was going to try to do British on camera, I'd just be probably, like, doing lines from, like, Dire Straits live at Donington or something. Like, that's the only...
Hello.
Like,
what is it? You always
like,
do the same.
I'd be like, okay, let's have a go at the single. It's a song about a jazz band, partly. It's called The Sultans of Swing.
That's Ben can do one sentence with an English accent. That one is very good.
That's very good. Anyway, this is Action Movie Anatomy, guys. We talk action movies on this show. Today, we're talking about Kingsman, The Secret Service, the surprise smash hit from just a couple years ago. And as well as myself, or you can find it at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. Andrew.
You can find me at Andrew Guy on Twitter.
And of course, the podcast itself, the video show, you can be found on Twitter at AMA Podcast and watched and streamed live on YouTube, which you're probably watching and streaming, we hope, live right now. But we have a very special guest, and she's asked not to be on camera, but just so you guys know who you're watching.
She knows the presence is here.
My mother is in the room with us today.
Yes. Mama Bateman.
My mom is sitting there and she's laughing, so we're going to try as hard as we can to get her to belly laugh and so you can hear her show up, because you won't be able to
see
it.
That is the only goal of this whole show, is to get a belly laugh out of the mom.
We're just going to throw random stuff out there to get unsolicited laughs. So, Kingsman, The Secret Service, what'd you think?
Dude, I love this movie, and you'll get it from my thesis statement, but this movie was so good. It was shockingly good. It's so entertaining, and it just drives the whole time. It just gets better and better and better, and it's that doesn't happen a lot in action movies.
No, it doesn't. I mean, especially new ones like this. This movie completely took me by surprise.
Yeah.
Like, I remember seeing the trailer for this movie, which we're going to show in just a minute here, and thinking,
"What?
Yeah, this is kind of cool. Like, it looks interesting, but it also looks like it's trying really hard to be like British cool. Like, this is young and awesome. Like." We're back to me doing British accents again on
so
the show.
Glad
it's not good.
Yeah, it looked like they were trying way too hard to make it Bondy, but then like so gimmicky and like fun. And again, it's the thing with advertising. It's super hard to advertise movies like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? Because what we found out is that Matthew Vaughn and Dave Gibbons were sitting in a bar and we're just like, I want to watch fun spy movies like we used to watch, which is a conversation that ended up in the movie between Samuel L. Jackson and Colin Firth's character.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm sick of these spy movies that take themselves so seriously. Let's just do a fun spy movie, which is what they made.
Yeah.
And in the way that all of those Bond movies, remember when we saw Spectre, we thought that it was a little bit like too cheeky, trying to do that old British humor too much.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. That's exactly how I felt about it. And it also just felt like they got caught.
Yeah.
They got caught in the middle ground, which is a big problem when you're trying to do both.
Yeah.
Whereas where this one, it perfectly executes the middle ground.
The fact that this film is derived from a comic book is so clear. And it's like you the comic book version of James Bond, but it's kind of younger and cooler and more fun, is exactly what this feels like.
Yeah.
So they executed it perfectly. So we're going to show the trailer here in just 1 second. Before we do that, we should let you guys know, we chose this movie based on 4 rules that all of the films we do on this show basically loosely adhere to. Rule number one,
yep.
The film as well as being made after 1981, the hero always plays by their own rules. Eggy definitely plays by
Eggy
his own.
Eggy plays by his own rules.
Eggsy.
Eggsy.
Rule number two, the hero and the villain are always the smartest people, beings, things, dinosaurs, aliens in the room, what have you.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, it's hard to even really characterize Sam Jackson as the villain. But he's great. He's very funny.
I wanted to say something real quick because people have already been talking about it in the live chat.
Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson's lisp is something that was real. He used to have one before he was an actor, and I think doing the acting training helped him get rid of that lisp. So when I first watched it, I thought it was a kind of an odd choice.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that even though in the beginning it seems so odd and like unnecessary,
yeah,
it actually fits perfectly with the movie.
It's really funny.
It's good.
It adds a great comic element. Rule number three, the movie is driven by a police, military, or political, or mercenary figure. I don't know if...
I mean, they're Secret Service, kind of.
Kind of. They're like a private security, which is mercenary.
Yeah.
To some degree.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I guess it's kind of that.
They kill a lot of people.
Rule number four, the movie contains a minimum of one explosion. There are explosions all over. There are explosions of fucking awesome all over also.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Those cool rainbow explosions.
Yeah. What a weird movie in some ways. Let's cue the trailer up. Be sure, obviously, guys, to find us on iTunes. Twice in the last few weeks, we've gotten two new ratings.
I love it.
And reviews, which is awesome because it helps us stay high in the standings so new people can find out about the show. So find that. Let's cue the trailer.
I don't remember this trailer whatsoever.
Yeah, it's all right. It's pretty good.
It's freezing. Why are we walking? We just look at our keys. Oh, that's my
car! That part was so awesome. Yeah.
Huge IQ, great performance in the Marines, but you gave up.
Hero qualifier.
Yeah.
Your coach thought you were Olympic level stuff, is he?
Your father saved my life. Dean says you're fair guy. Boys, I've had a rather emotional day, so whatever your beef with Eggsy is, and I'm sure it's well-founded, I'd appreciate it if you could just leave us in peace.
You should get out of the way, Granddad, or you'll get hurt.
He's so good.
He's great.
Manners?
It's a great pairing, the two of them.
Yes.
Great chemistry, like really...
Do you know what that means?
It's endearing, too.
Yeah.
You get that father figure. Yes.
Such a sweet scene.
Are we going to stand around here all day, or are we going to fight?
You know, I was talking to our buddy Fernando Chen, the guy that did all the fight choreography for Warrior.
Yeah.
I was telling him we were going to do this movie this week, and he wasn't a big fan of it, but it's because he's a fight choreographer.
Yeah.
He's so critical of the slow motion speed up fighting.
Got it.
And how uninnovative it is.
Yeah.
And I was trying to tell him, like, you don't have to be an innovative action movie to be a good action movie.
Right. Yeah. 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 I mean, it's so that's how I did a lot of this, was right. They slowed the fighting down.
Yeah. And then sped it up.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. And double speed and all that stuff.
Exactly.
Which is pretty clear when they're doing it.
Right.
But to me, it was awesome.
It was awesome. And the music that they did with...
Yeah. It's just funny, because it's like...
I love her.
Yeah.
Is that in the movie?
Yeah.
Felt sorry for the boy, did you?
Yeah. It's funny that Iggy Azalea's song playing, and they reference her once in the movie.
Yeah.
Mankind is a virus.
Is a virus.
Sounds like a lot of people are going to die.
Super, super hilarious villain.
Look like I give
him. Yeah. Yeah, that's got to be a shot from the comic book.
It's so sweet. Which in the comic book, it was played by a male.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, male amputee.
Yeah, I've never read this comic. Like Mark Millar, but never read the comic.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to do, is if you did a British accent in the beginning, I was going to do the lisp.
The lisp? Yeah. You were going to do the lisp.
I was going to do the lisp. Hello.
I'm name is Andrew Guy. I love this movie.
I love this movie. I like this tie. That's good.
Yeah.
It's a good trailer.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Entertaining. I can still see watching that why I might have thought that it was, like, going to be, you know, not quite what it was, but it definitely, you know, completely surprised me, so... We're going to start this off with a thing we do called Action Movie Tagline. So for those of you that are watching or listening for the very first time, Andrew and I have these memories of being kids and going to the video store, the actual physical video store, where we would walk the aisles. And so much of the information you would get from movies came from the movie box. And specifically, when we were kids, the VHS movie box, which were usually filled with styrofoam so that if they fell off the shelf, it wouldn't break the movie.
And then they had those gross plastic,
like
thick plastic ones that held the case or the movie.
Yeah, so we'd like, as kids, you'd walk around and you'd like pull these movies down from the shelf and you'd look at them. There's always like a couple taglines on the box. Short ones on the front, like a slam bang action thriller or a nonstop adrenaline thrill ride.
Yeah.
And then on the back, there would be some longer ones. Like, you know, it could be anything. Like, this movie takes you places you never thought you'd go.
Right,
and
like beyond. A paragraph.
Yeah, like from the director of such and such, we bring you this film. So Andrew and I decided we would start doing this thing a little while back where we would make up our own action movie tagline for the movies in question and do them live on the show. I'm assuming we're both going to do ours in a British accent.
Of course.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I would like you to go first this time.
Yeah, no problem. Let's see if I can read my own handwriting here. Let's see. Here's what I got. Manners maketh man. It's like drinking a 62 Darmon while doing it in the fanny.
I see what you did there. The reference to the Swedish princess.
Yeah.
And I like
she,
that.
She just says we could do it in the asshole in the movie. Yeah, but she's a lot more vulgar.
Yeah, she really... Yeah. For someone that's been captive for a while, she's like down.
Yeah.
I like her.
My mom is in the room, if anybody forgot.
Also, Ben, in British parlance, fanny doesn't mean butt.
Crap. He was going to say bum, but damn then it. Me and his mom convinced him to say fanny.
Yeah, I forgot.
For those of you, that's our Mark Donica, in case you couldn't hear him at the beginning of last episode.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. Bum is written on the page. I just can't read it.
can't read.
Donica, yeah, trusted producer and engineer on the show. Donica, anything you want to add? Of course, you're always welcome.
Do what I can.
All right, here we go. Oxfords, check. Spectacles, check. Umbrella, check. Time to save the world and get the girl.
I like it. Short. Sweet. Short. Good.
Sweet. To the point.
It's good. It's good. It's weird with this movie because, okay, so when we do movies like Face Off or we do movies like Predator, it's like they're not in on the joke all the way.
Right.
So we get to be in on the joke, which makes the process of writing taglines and talking about the movie
so much more.
It's just that we can laugh more. Whereas with this movie, it's totally in on the joke.
Yeah.
It's like this movie's awesome, but there's...
It pokes fun at itself, but in a self... Well, that's one of the biggest things that people had problems with this movie is that it's very meta. It's very self-referential.
Totally.
But I think it's good.
I totally agree. I just mean, like, writing a tagline, for instance...
Right.
You almost have to do the tagline to be kind of meta, or it's not going to... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's... But the humor's already there, so it's not that funny. Yeah. I don't know.
I fell apart.
Yeah.
I just can't do taglines anymore, man. They get harder and harder every week.
I mean, I wasn't talking about your tagline, dude.
I just thought that when you said yours, it made me think of this.
All right. So the next thing we do on the show is something called Thesis Statement. And this is our bold thought about the movie. So we choose something about the film that we really want to try to defend throughout the course of the whole show. And we introduce this as a bold statement, kind of based in hyperbole almost. Shouldn't be anything soft. Shouldn't be anything loose. Has to be something like, this is the greatest this, or this is... The one time this ever happened, the best representation of X ever, not like, this is my favorite action star in the 90s.
Right.
Right. Or I had Eggos for breakfast or something. I don't know.
I did have Eggos for breakfast.
Very good. I heard a laugh.
I got a slight laugh out of my mom in the corner.
She's laughing.
All right, we can cut the show now. We're done. We're done. All right, so mine is, I have so many of them.
Yeah.
Like, is Colin Firth the greatest surprise action star ever? Is this the... You know, I'll just say it. This, for me, is the greatest surprise treat of a movie I've seen, and I can't even tell you how long. I had no interest in watching this movie. Once it came out on on DVD, I didn't go rent it. I had no interest. It looked so stupid.
Yeah.
But then my buddy, our buddy at work, Alex, told me, he's like, dude, you gotta watch it. It's insane.
Yeah.
And again, I went into it with such low expectations. I was blown away.
Well, and that's because a lot of what Alex says is just gobbledygook.
Oh, it just pisses me off because he's so opinionated. I do love him.
Not gobbledygook, like not educated. Just gobbledygook in the sense like you're if like I want to punch you sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Alex, if you're listening, I would enjoy to have my job still. No, but seriously, I have to thank him because this movie, it just blew me away. And I don't know if I ever would have watched it had he not told me to.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. He probably will watch this and then he'll fire you and not explain why.
Right, right before he says, I know I was right.
All right. So what I went with my thesis statement is that you guys know the director, Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder is directing Batman versus Superman. He did 300. He did Watchmen. Mm-hmm. He is incredibly famous for doing high-profile comic book adaptations of some of the most famous comic books of all time. I mean, for God's sakes, Watchmen is the most famous comic book of all time. The Dark Knight Returns, they're taking elements from that comic and they are putting it into Batman versus Superman. This is just what he does. Frank Miller's 300, one of the most famous. I believe Matthew Vaughn is the greatest comic book adaptation director ever.
Really?
And that Zack Snyder is, in fact, a poor man's Matthew Vaughn.
I completely agree with you.
Because I like Matthew Vaughn's movies.
They're so much better.
They're
like,
just more...
I don't love Kick-Ass, but it's good.
Yeah.
You know, like, all these movies that he's done, and with the comic book adaptations or not, he's just good.
Yeah.
And I was surprised when I saw his filmography. I didn't know that he'd done all those movies. I mean, he hasn't done a lot of movies, but I've enjoyed
First Class is sweet.
Yeah, Layer Cake is awesome. First Class is amazing.
I like First Class, I think, more than any Zack Snyder movie. Maybe 300's better, but...
I don't think so.
No?
I really don't think so, man.
Like, First Class is really good. Like, it's not like Zack Snyder makes bad movies. It's just that his movies have no soul. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't think he's a bad director, and I'm very excited for Batman vs. Superman because I think watching Zack Snyder do Batman is going to be incredible.
Yeah, he's good at what he does.
But it's just like, I never walk away from the movies being like, that was so cool, I want to watch that again. It's always like, what an incredible visual treat that was.
Yeah, I mean, whereas last night when I finished watching this movie, I was just, I sat there, I just had a smile on my face.
Yeah.
Like, I just felt good, you know?
Yeah.
It was a good movie.
Yeah, totally.
Loved it.
Poor man's Zack Snyder.
I like that.
Zack Snyder is the poor man's Matthew Vaughn.
I do like Zack Snyder, like you said, but I completely agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, like, I would never, ever have a conversation... And I feel that I try to have honest conversations with those that I interview. So if I was to interview Zack Snyder someday, it's like, I would be fascinated.
Oh, completely.
Fascinated. Like, so many things that I want to ask, so much appreciation for so much of what he's done. But in terms of the quality of movie based on story, I feel like that's the reason that Vaughn's movies are more successful.
Yeah, Vaughn's a better storyteller, and he has more heart in his films.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, excellent. Let's get into the next part of the show, which is something we call Fist Pump Moment. Fist Pump Moment is that part in the show where I just imagined interviewing... Zack Snyder and felt the need to defend myself because I was like, if I ever meet the guy, I'll be really embarrassed. Anyway, Fist Pump Moment actually is not that. Fist Pump Moment is that part of the show where we're like, if you're watching a movie and something really awesome happens and you're just kind of looking around, like maybe you're watching it, nobody's on the couch with you, and you're like, buddy, get in here, I need to show you something right now. This is so awesome. Maybe you call your buddy on the phone, you're like, I just need to talk to you because I'm watching Kingsman.
Have you seen
church scene? Go to YouTube right now, look it up. Look it up. I want to watch it.
Oh, wait.
I want to. I'll wait. I want to sync it up so we can watch it at the same time.
Man, this is a 5-minute scene. I said I'll wait.
That is Fist Pump Moment, and we have many of them in many of the movies. This movie has a ton of Fist Pump Moments.
Oh, there's so many great ones.
So we're going to share our Fist Pump Moment with you guys. Right now, if you have your own, leave them on YouTube. Leave them in the comments. If my mom comes up with a Fist Pump Moment, I'm going to make her say it. But I'm not going to force her to unless she really wants to. And let's talk Fist Pump Moment.
Okay, so it's very rare that we get... you always have a legitimate fist pump moment, but one of the ones that like really sticks in your mind, you know? And so last night, I'm sitting there watching this movie with my buddy. And I'm sorry it wasn't you.
Yeah.
It was a different friend. He fell asleep.
Yeah.
He fell asleep like 30 minutes out of the end of the movie.
Okay.
And there's that scene.
Was he inebriated?
I can't say. He wasn't sober.
If it was me, I would know the answer.
Yeah, exactly. Look, it's not a big deal, man. I'll watch the movie with you next week. So he falls asleep.
Yeah.
He falls asleep maybe like 15 or 20 minutes before Eggsy's in that hallway where he's getting trapped. He's surrounded. He's he knows he's going to die. And Strong, they're pulling up that anti-air missile like right up to the front of the plane. And I'm sitting there. I look over and he's asleep. And I was like, Mike. No. Shit. And I was like, fine. I just watched it. But I was like sitting there. I wrote it down. I was like, this is a real legitimate fist bump. Like the music, the moment. You don't know how they're going to get out of it.
Yeah.
And then it goes from being so serious to everyone's head exploding rainbows.
Okay. So it's difficult to watch this movie and not come out of it just thinking, this fist bump moment is the church scene. Like,
right.
It's the coolest scene in the movie. It's the most insane scene in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we will show that scene later because we're going to talk about it a little bit more later. I decided my fist bump moment was actually the scene where Colin Firth kicks the thug's ass in the bar at the beginning. Because it's like, that's like the whole definition of fist pump moment is that scene.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's the whole point. It's like, who is this old? And it's like, you know, we're gonna talk smack to this old geezer, right?
Yeah,
and he's like, yeah, and you're like, you know it's about to go down.
Yeah, you know he's gonna wreck them.
Yeah, you just know it. He's this old dude with an umbrella. That's the coolest part about this movie, is just that whole thing. It's like these gentlemen in suits, your the modern gentleman's suit.
Right.
Our armor is a suit. So cool.
We need to get bulletproof suits.
Yeah.
How sweet that would be.
We do need to get bulletproof suits.
We can just walk around shooting each other.
We need to write that into our action film.
We do. We really need to write this action movie. It needs to happen.
I don't even know what it would be about. I don't know who the main character. I feel like we would write the most convoluted, absurd
it would just have every single action movie packed into one.
Question is this. Like, okay, Expendables is trying to do what we would sort of envision doing, I'm imagining.
Right, but ours is going to be more... ours is more serious.
Right?
It's got to be more.
We would take it a little more seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Like, when we were watching... So, Ben and I saw London Has Fallen last night.
Yeah.
That was last night. And, sweet. It was very good.
Comes out this weekend. We recommend seeing it.
Yeah, it was super awesome.
I mean, from the... If you love this show, it's
right,
awesome.
Right, if you liked Olympus Has Fallen, it's like, better than it.
If you want a good movie from the traditional sense of what actual quality is...
Not a good movie.
Don't see this
movie.
Not a good movie. But if you like this show and you like Olympus, you will love London Has Fallen.
So what I was getting at is there's moments in London Has Fallen, they do it all the time. It's like U.S. secret, blah, blah, blah. Like all the titles like typed on the screen.
Yeah.
I was sitting there and I was like, if Ben and I were going to make an action movie, when it says 6:30 p.m.,
yeah,
it would say 6:31.
Yeah.
Like Tony Scott used to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He never had round even times. No, there was always like a minute or two off.
Yeah. 5:47.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Things are about to go down.
Yeah.
So we need to write this action movie. This does need to happen.
Yeah. Oh, completely. I was just remembering this morning because like some internet trailer came up while I was driving here, and they show the line from the movie that just we both were dying laughing. I don't know about you, but I'm thirsty as fuck. Why does he say that?
Why does he say that? That movie is incredibly self-aware of what it is.
Oh,
like Mike
man.
Banning. Is 10 times or 100 times more Mike Banning than he is in the first one. He's got like stupid lines and he jokes and he becomes like Bruce Willis in Die Hard.
Yeah, it's so good. I know this man. He's Mike Banning. Special Forces, Ranger Battalion.
Ranger Battalion.
We can trust him. Oh man, I can't wait to do that movie next week.
What movie are we talking about right now?
Yeah, I know. We're just talking about.
My fist pump moment was the Guinness toss.
Yeah, okay.
Like,
okay,
specifically,
go.
That moment kicked
just
off everything
that.
And because it was so perfectly executed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just awesome. I mean, that's the funny thing is the slow up speed down stuff is so effective in that scene.
It's
that's what
fun.
Makes it so cool.
I mean, even in Sherlock Holmes when they do it, it's fun.
Yeah.
Like the pre-planned out fighting, it's all slowed down, then they speed it up. Like, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess to some degree, like this movie and this director, he feels like a slightly less like overtly British Guy Ritchie, which makes sense that they work together and they're friends. But like Lock, Stock, Snatch, all of Guy Ritchie's movies, as his style kind of devolved and people stopped being so charmed by it.
Yeah.
Rock and Roll, Revolver, Swept Away, I think, was the one that he did.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like you do something really cool and new.
Yeah.
And you can't just keep doing that same thing forever.
It's weird, though, because I feel like some directors do that and they manage to evolve within their own style.
Like Tony Scott?
Yeah, like we love Tony Scott, but he's
but he's not like innovative.
He's like his own animal. I was gonna say more like Wes Anderson.
Yeah, I mean the greatest example of someone that can do that is James Cameron.
Yeah,
the absolute greatest example of a director that evolves with the times and he has his own style.
Yeah,
but it's, yeah.
I mean, like Wes Anderson. If you look at like Rushmore, and then you look at say like Grand Budapest, it's like Grand Budapest has a lot of the same stuff that Rushmore and Tenenbaums have, but it strings together and feels just like a bit more like a dramatic. Charming movie with a real story as opposed to that earlier stuff which is like all quirk.
So I didn't see Budapest.
Okay.
Did Tenenbaums and Budapest feel fresh from one another?
It feels different. Like I said, it feels evolved.
Okay.
Like all Tenenbaums is great, but Tenenbaums is like, to me, the peak of his early films.
Yes.
Like, he hit everything on the head in that movie, and by the time he made Darjeeling Limited and the other Steve Zissou, Life Aquatic, both of those movies are sort of like the watered-down version of the cuteness. And then he evolved and he kept making movies. And, like, Fantastic Mr. Fox is very good. I never saw Moonrise Kingdom.
I didn't either.
But people like that movie a lot. But Darjeeling, or the Grand Budapest, it feels less like the old ones. It's, like, more reformed or something.
Hmm.
Like,
all right.
But then so my point is,
check that out.
I think with this guy's style, with Guy Ritchie's style, he didn't evolve as much as I would have liked. Whereas Matthew Vaughn, it's like his approach feels much, much more relatable.
Like, I do actually really enjoy the Sherlock Holmes movies.
Yeah.
I really like them. But it didn't feel the same way as it did when you first watched Lock, Stock, or Snatch.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, let's get on. Let's move on to...
the movie we're actually talking about.
Yeah. Star Profiles is super interesting because these guys are not action
stars. Taron Egerton was kind of a nobody.
He was a nobody.
Yeah.
He'd been in one feature film, one short film, and been on TV.
Yeah, whereas Colin Firth, this was just the ultimate, like, backwards career turn for him.
Yeah.
What a cool one to do. I mean, okay, so like Before I Go to Sleep, Magic in the Moonlight, Devil's Knot, 2014, 2014.
I literally know nothing about any of those movies.
I'm the same as you.
Yeah.
Colin Firth, if I was going to like name the roles that jump out at me when I think about him, Love Actually comes to mind.
Bridget Jones.
Which is the. Is
King's
not,
Speech.
Is Notting Hill him?
That's Hugh Grant.
No, what's the other one? About a Boy. That's him. Right?
About a Boy.
About a Boy.
Is Hugh Grant?
No, he's in one of those two, guaranteed.
Well, he's in. No, it's Hugh Grant in both of them.
He's not in either movie?
No. I mean, he might be a small part, but Hugh Grant's the lead in both of those.
I feel like he's in About a Boy, and he's got a reasonably large part. But anyway, Love Actually.
Donica, figure that out.
A Single Man, which is
Tom
Ford
good
movie,
yeah.
Which I think he got an Academy Award nomination for, mm-hmm. which is great. And then obviously King's Speech, as you said.
Which he kills it in. He's very, very good. He's so good that it drives you crazy.
Yeah.
Because his stutter is so, it like you can tell it just eats him alive.
I think that must be 2012.
2012, yeah.
And so that's just sort of right before that. So it's cool that a couple years later he would go and do this movie. Mm-hmm. And I've heard, even though... Spoiler alert, if you haven't watched this movie and you're just watching us because you love us and you love our glasses.
You should watch this movie.
Firth, it would struggle to come back in the second film, if you know what I mean. If I can't move my glasses.
I'm trying to do the same thing, but the headphones are... He dies.
Yeah.
He gets shot in the head.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Did you find that a little bit like...
Awesome?
Well, okay, awesome choice, but like, he's supposed to be a super spy. How does he just get caught with his pants down like that?
Well, because he's just been like... he's been like hypnotized.
Yeah.
And then he comes out... He's like still all screwed up, yeah. And then there's two guys with machine guns on him. I did bother me. I thought the same thing last night. I was like, you got to be able to get out of this.
Right.
But at the same time, like he just was completely out of control for 5 minutes.
Donica, what's the story on About a Boy, Notting Hill?
He was in neither of those movies
nice.
In
Damn
any
it.
Regard.
Damn it. I don't know if it's cool or not that I was able to know that for sure.
I think
Andrew,
I,
it's cool.
I think thanks, I Donica. Know why. I think it has something to do with the large amount of women in your household growing up.
Look, man, I just enjoyed those movies when I was growing up. Nothing to say
nothing
about
to do with my sisters.
But you talk about my mom.
In terms of Firth coming back for a second one, we didn't see his body taken away
there you
at
go.
The end of the scene.
There you go. Maybe he shot him in his bulletproof eyeglasses.
We haven't seen crap. This is a comic book spy movie. Anything can happen. Could have been a damn robot. Who knows?
This is true. I'm going to go ahead and move on to Edgerton while Ben's over there trying to figure out what movie Colin Firth was in. So Edgerton, the only other movie he'd been in before this was called Testament of Youth. And
okay.
he had like a – I actually have no idea what his role was in that movie. That's the one – another thing about both these guys is that – neither of them were doing anything relevant at the time. I mean, Colin Firth did King's Speech 3 years prior, but even that was one of those movies that it was just Oscar bait. It wasn't a movie that, you know, Colin Firth wasn't really an A-lister. So Edgerton, he did Hereafter, which was a short in 2013. He was a lead character on The Smoke, a TV series, and then Testament of Youth in 2014. And then this.
Right. And now,
yeah.
Yeah, so Eddie and the Eagle comes out this weekend. Or last
yeah.
weekend.
Or I think it just came out.
Just
yeah.
came out. And it's produced by some of the same guys. There's also another Kingsman in the works. And he's, I mean, Edgerton's like attached to some big stuff.
Yeah,
now.
Absolutely.
That kid's going to be a huge star. Huge.
And he deserves it. Because I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because I want to be an actor.
Yeah.
But when like kids this age yeah. are in movies as leads, I'm always kind of like, all right, we'll see.
Yeah, right.
He kills it.
Yeah, he's
so good.
He
does so good in this.
Yeah.
And I love him. Mm-hmm. I have nothing bad. It was the same thing with Miles Teller. When I saw Whiplash,
yeah,
and even
Teller.
The first, what was the very first, was it Divergent?
Yeah.
Even that, I was like, okay, this kid's a douchebag, but then I saw Whiplash, and he's just great.
Yeah, he's
so,
super good in Whiplash.
I enjoy that when these guys surprise me.
Absolutely. I mean, I agree with you. So, I mean, Edgerton's definitely going to be a big star. I hope they figure out a way. One of the things I had read is, like, the possibility of Firth being, like, having a twin brother or something like that.
I'm so okay with anything.
Yeah.
Like, I just want him back.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He trained for 6 months and did 80% of his own stunts.
Yeah. Did you know that that you could like buy all of the clothing in this movie? That was like part of the deal.
We can buy bulletproof suits.
No, I mean not bulletproof suits, but all the clothing. There was like a real version of everything that every one of the characters
right,
wore.
They created like a whole line.
Yeah. Right.
That's awesome.
It was so cool.
Their suits are like just classy, like a little old school. You
I'm
know?
Gonna get every single Valentine costume I can.
All the hats.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking. So, like with Firth suits, I was noticing like they have him wearing for like a lot of the movie these like double breasted,
yeah.
super wide peak lapel suits
with like six buttons, right?
Yeah, double breasted, and they're like, but it's very trendy, and it was very trendy in like the early part of this last decade to bring back double breasted. Like I remember Morgan Freeman.
I think the first suit I ever had when I was young was a
double breasted.
Yeah,
I have like one that I don't ever wear anymore, but like Morgan Freeman wears a double breasted suit in Dark Knight, Dark Knight Rises, I think it is. So, you know, it was like a thing that was sort of getting popular again, but it's like, it doesn't matter that it's not trendy anymore. It's old school, yeah, which is why he's wearing it.
Exactly.
And it looks modern, but it still looks old school. I don't know. The costume design in their suits.
They did do really, yeah. It felt super gentlemanly old school with all looking like you could still, I could wear it and yeah, it'd be totally cool.
All this, the lighter grenade and like the sweet pens.
Yeah.
Their
like,
guns are really
the ring,
cool.
And like nothing was over the top. Like no gadget did too much. It yeah, had its one function and that was it.
Yeah. I was a little sad that the one shotgun shot for the pistol
was never used.
Never paid off, yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I just used the shotgun out of the umbrella, which was pretty sweet.
Yeah, the umbrellas are sweet.
I want that.
The umbrella?
Yeah.
Like a killer umbrella?
Like a killer umbrella. Like, I'm just going to walk around and stun people.
Like a stun capsule?
It's like shooting people out of my car.
Bulletproof?
Look, you never know what you're going to get into when it's raining, man.
That's Andrew. He's that dude that always has that killer umbrella.
Is that the guy that just killed that guy out of the umbrella? yeah, so this movie, it said that it was released in 2014,
right,
but it didn't actually come out in the States until 2015.
Well, it's one of these situations where, I mean, we'll talk about this with the box office a little later. This movie had made most of its money internationally.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't actually domestically, I mean, it was a hit domestically, a surprise hit, I think, for most people, but this movie made over $400 million.
Insane.
And a lot of that was international. So, yeah, I think some of that, the whole, like, when was it going to be released domestically was less the issue. But, yeah, they moved up and they pushed back and they moved up and they pushed back. It definitely was, I think to some degree the studios didn't know what to do with it.
I completely agree. I wouldn't know what to do with it either. And I think it's better that they didn't originally release it in November or they moved it back to October. And then, like, after they moved it forward and back and forward and back, I think it's good that it didn't come out at the end of last year.
Right.
I mean, the end of the prior year. I think it was a better time for it to come out in February because that's not a lot of movies are coming out in February.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, this is a time where a movie that is this good, people are like, all right, well, there's nothing else. Let's go check it out. And then they tell everybody.
It's really weird how word of mouth works. And sometimes it's successful and sometimes it's not. I mean, I still hadn't seen this movie until we were doing it on the episode.
Yeah.
So, you know, as much good press as I had heard about this movie, I still decided not to watch it until, you know, we did this, which is
right,
one of the most fun things about this show is that we get to look at these movies and just, like, break the shit out of them down.
I would have never watched London Has Fallen. Or Olympus Has Fallen in my life.
And you're so
and
happy
I am
you
so
did.
Happy I did. London, okay, I gotta get over London Has Fallen. It was so sweet.
Where did they make you out of, Mike? Mike, what are you made out of? Let's save it for next week.
Yeah, we'll leave it. Yeah, that's a good line.
Away.
That's my favorite line.
Yeah, it's a good line. All right, so let's talk about the writers. Pretty much Mark Millar and Dave Gibbons, right? That's like the...
Those are the comic book guys.
The guys who wrote the comic book. And then you had Jane Goldman, who was a screenplay writer on the film as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she only pretty much...